Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to hopefully a very brief episode of Sour Graps. Hope you're all doing well and keeping quarantined whenever possible, even in those states where they've decided for some reason that everyone should die. hope you don't die. Fightful Faithful, as I said many times, I love you all. I hope you're figuring out fun and new things to amuse yourself while you're stuck at home. I, myself, have almost perfected. Well, I'm getting close to not sucking at making Dairy Queen blizzards at home in my blender. Because my wife loves ice cream, and we used to go out for ice cream all the time, and we can't do that anymore. At least we shouldn't. So I've taken to trying to make some concoctions in the blender. It's good. Used berries today to add it to vanilla ice cream. A little healthier than the Snickers bar we chopped up in there last night. Anyway, all the parents out there, my daughter has a series of, you know, favorite shows she likes to watch. She watches the new Muppet Babies on Disney Junior. They made a new one for those of you who are of my age and don't have kids. When we were kids, there was the Muppet Baby show. It was kind of cool because it got away with all kinds of copyright infringement. They would like straight up lift clips of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, just plop them right in the middle of the show. That's why you can't get it on DVD or stream it anywhere, because all those copyright claims have been filed since. But the new one is very cute. They don't do as many copyright things. But all the gang is still there. Except they've replaced Scooter and Skeeter with a little penguin who's purple. Her name is Summer, because she's from there where it's always winter. And her name is Summer. That sounds like a joke in the Big Show show, which apparently I will continue to review, much to my chagrin. Yeah, more on that down the line, I guess. Anyway, Summer the Penguin, one of my daughter's favorite episodes. She has a really bad day. Like, she overslept her alarm. She got to playgroup late, so she missed them reading her favorite story. Then it was snack time, so she opened up her lunchbox, and her milk had exploded everywhere. Just the worst day ever. So they all banded together, you know, Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo and Animal and Fozzie Bear. They all banded together to try and lift Summer's spirits. But the problem is that all her day is cursed. So it backfires on all of them. And then they wind up trying, because they use their imaginations and stuff like that. So just the worst day ever turns into, like, they pull a lever trying to like make everything okay. Turn your frown upside down. But then they turn the whole room upside down, you know, in their imagination. And now they're stuck there, hanging from the ceiling. And like, oh my God, I didn't want my bad day to rub off on you guys. Now we're stuck in upside downsies land. So my daughter watches that show, that episode, like 5 or 6 times a week. She loves it. And I've certainly taken calling like bad days that you have is when you're stuck in upside downsies land. So that's why the title of this episode is Upside Downsies Land. Because that's where SmackDown was stuck on Friday. Up was down, left was right. Women's right was women's wrong. You didn't know if you were coming or going. The wrong people were picked for everything. Stuff that didn't make sense happened. Actually, it's pretty much an episode of SmackDown. Plus, we got the Triple H and HBK Memorial Comedy Half Hour at the end of the night. So, that was great. I'm not going to talk much about that. So, really, we're going to review an hour and a half of SmackDown. And then I'm going to say the last half hour was HBK and Triple H trying to pop each other with bad jokes. And then Stephanie FaceTimed in, and then Ric Flair FaceTimed in, and then Vince wandered out to say everything is boring and sucks, and then he turned off the lights and played actual cricket noises. That's it. That's what happened. I'm not going to say anything more about that when we get to the end of the show. The main event is the first thing that I'm talking about now. So if you're wondering why you get to the end of the show and I don't talk about the last half hour of SmackDown, it's because I already did just now. Also, I tweeted last night that after just reading the results of what happened on SmackDown, that I was just going to forego the normal SmackDown episode of Sour Graps and just cover my face with my hands and gently scream for 45 minutes. I'm not going to do it for 45 minutes, but I am a man of my word. So I'm going to cover my face with my hand. And I'm going to gently scream until I run out of breath. First of all, I'm going to take a nice swig of water, wet my whistle. All right, here we go. For those of you only listening to the podcast, you don't get to see the wonderful visual of me covering my face with my hands, like so, and gently screaming until I run out of breath. Here we go. How long was that? I didn't take a real long, deep breath, so long enough, right? That's my soul. My soul makes that sound when I watch episodes of SmackDown that are as bullshit as this. So let's get started. Talk about it. Hey, New Day comes out and they talk about how they're the 8-time champs. Kofi Kingston has the gall, the unmitigated gall, the temerity, the audacity to say, your boys, the New Day, became the 8-time champs. And I'm like, Kofi, I remember seeing you sitting at home over the FaceTimes saying, hooray for you, Big E. But now tonight, it's a different story, taking all the credit. Big E did all that shit. You had a chance at WrestleMania in a ladder match. You didn't come through. Your boy Big E did. Big E deserves a singles run, is the main thrust of this. They were interrupted, not by the Usos, which is interesting, an interesting choice, but by the Lucha House Party. And listen, I'm all for new blood in the tag division. Sure, but Lucha House Party? I actually really like them in the Elimination Chamber match, but again, I want to see people beat other people to then rise up the ranks, the proverbial ranks that they're rising up to then become title contenders. I don't know the last tag match that the Lucha House Party won before they were coming out and saying, hey, we want a title shot. Now, we'll get to that later, but they say something, and they're talking about how they want to do it. They want to have a match. Miz and Morrison interrupt. They walk right past the Lucha House Party, get in, say, how dare you? We didn't lose. I wanted Toby's like, well, no, I didn't win. You lost. Your boy Morrison, he didn't lose. You lost. My boy, Big E, he won. He actually beat your ass, didn't he? I wanted him to say that, but they didn't. But then I liked that Grand Metalik said something to Miz in Spanish. I think he said, quiete, quiete la boca. Shut your mouth. Quiet your mouth. Something like that. Then he called him some name. And I love that Miz was like, hey, you wrestled in Mexico to Morrison. What did he say? He said, you're a fine, upstanding citizen. It's great. That's all fine and good. Great. Well, this is what we have. We have a never-ending promo parade of champs say, we're the champs. We're going to be the champs forever. Contenders say, we'd like a shot at your titles because we think we're going to beat you. Other teams say, actually, no, we want a rematch. We're the people that you beat. And then another team shows up thinly veiled. the Make America Great Again chapter of the Hells Angels, and also former Marines, Sons of Assholery. Forgotten Sons. I forgot what your name was. They come down and they try and put them over as being something special, even though they weren't in NXT. But as I said, it's only a matter of time before Vince can't help himself and puts the titles on these dudes. Hoy. I hope it's a thing where they're going to do, like, it's, they're going to do the Forgotten Sons beat the New Day because there's three of them. And then Xavier Woods comes back from injury and then evens the odds, and then the New Day gets the titles back. I mean, that's, if you have to do a Forgotten Sons program for the titles, if you have to do it and you really want to put the titles on them, which, again, I don't, I think they're morally awful, but if you have to do it, that's how I would do it. I'd have them even the odds thing. But anyway, Wesley Blake, who is the one guy in the trio who wasn't actually a Marine, is like, we're Marines. We're Marines. You won't see it coming when we get you. That's why I'm inching very slowly over toward the New Day, because they won't see it coming as I'm inching closer and closer. And then he hits him with an elbow. But the Miz and Morrison aren't pissed at Sons of Anarchy because heels and heels are always best friends. They want a piece of the Lucha House Party. Later, they get that piece. First, Money in the Bank. Money qualifying match. King Corbin defeated Drew Gulak. Guys, I think King Corbin's going to win the Money in the Bank match again. I do. I think he's going to win the Money in the Bank match again. I don't want to think that, but I'm looking at the three people they have over on Raw, and I don't see it. I don't see Rey Mysterio winning it. I guess. But again, they keep saying it's a guaranteed title victory. It is if you use it right. You know, you got to use it. I don't know. I don't think Aleister Black is the right guy to hold it, because what's he gonna do? Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem like the type who's like, just as you're very tired, I will come down to the ring and kick you. Maybe he is. Maybe that's the right guy. Maybe it is Aleister Black, and I'm up my own ass worrying about shit. But I don't want to see King Corbin win this thing. Nor do I want to see Dolph Ziggler win this thing. Dolph Ziggler is beating Otis next week. They haven't announced the winner yet, but Dolph Ziggler is facing Otis next week for the final spot. I guess the women's Money in the Bank ladder match has Nia, so maybe. Honestly, this would be the only reason I think would be really funny to have Otis in the match. Everybody else takes the stairs. Otis takes the elevator. One floor at a time. He's wanting to be fair. But Otis takes the elevator from floor to floor, and he's still winded when he gets out of the elevator. That would be funny. Pitching that to anybody who's watching. But yeah, King Corbin beat Drew Gulak. This was decent. The only thing I hated about this is that Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro are now whoring themselves out as henchmen to anybody. Like, they're the artist collective. Since when is King Corbin an artist? Sami Zayn's not around, so we'll do whatever for whatever heel needs a couple of henchmen. I know they're currently feuding with Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak. By the way, Drew Gulak doesn't even get to come out of his own entrance music. He has to come out to Daniel Bryan's entrance music. I don't love that either. So yeah, Nakamura and Cesaro attack Daniel Bryan, which allows Drew Gulak to get distracted, which allows King Corbin to attack him, which allows King Corbin to hit the End of Days, and then that's it. That's the end of the match. And then Nakamura and Cesaro hold Gulak up so that he can get hit with the scepter by King Corbin, because as I said, Cesaro and Nakamura are whoring themselves out to any heel who needs henchmen. What happened to Bobby Roode? Where's he doing? What's he doing? I know Dolph Ziggler's no longer henching for Baron Corbin because he's turning face. I don't know what he's doing, but he's like, he seems to be very sincerely in love with Mandy Rose. He's probably not. He's a douche. Sheamus squashed some poor guy who looked like he could actually really fight. Like, if he looked at him, you're like, I don't want to face that guy. And Sheamus just murdered him, which, you know, helps to do whatever they're doing with Sheamus. Great. Hey, Jeff Hardy retrospective showing the thing where they came back to WrestleMania 33, giant pop. They mentioned the Hardy Boys a couple of times, mostly with Jeff Hardy. And then when they were showing clips of it, they were like showing him and Matt Hardy holding their hands up, but like the shot is cropped, so you only see like Matt's right arm and don't see Matt at all, because it was the Hardy Boys are back. But really, Jeff Hardy's the only one who's actually back. With Jeff Hardy, in a few years when we edit this down, let's make sure and talk about only Jeff Hardy. Okay, good. Yeah. So Jeff Hardy's back. He's the good Hardy. We should only talk about that Hardy, says WWE. Speaking of Hardy, it rhymes with party. Lucha House Party defeated The Miz and Morrison. I love Grand Metalik. And this was so cool. It gave me major Lucha Underground vibes, because I was watching John Morrison wrestle luchadors, which I literally, guys, if you have access to Lucha Underground's season 1 and 2 and parts of 3, not 4, but if you have access to seasons 1 and 2 especially, and 3, holy God, it's the best wrestling's ever been on television. And I firmly believe it. So in love with it. And John Morrison was so great. Johnny Mundo, they called him. Yeah. Anyway, he looks so good. And I want him to have a long singles run. Maybe this is the beginning of it, because The Miz lost. And they did this thing like, you know, The Miz and Morrison were very upset. And how could this have happened? We lost to Lucha House Party. Only 2 of them, not 3 of them. Usually it's Lucha Rules, right? Remember that? Lucha Rules, Lucha House Rules. Gosh. Crazy times. But yeah, Grand Metalik countered Mrs. Skull Crushing Valley with a victory roll. As I said, this is going to be a brief one, man. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, there's this. We'll talk about this. Lacey Evans defeated Sasha Banks. Lacey Evans is going to be your Women's Money in the Bank winner. She's going to win the Women's Money in the Bank, and she's going to cash in on Bayley later that night. Mark my words, by the end of the night on May 10th, or whenever the hell Money in the Bank is, Lacey Evans, your new SmackDown Women's Champion. Gosh, it'll be so great. I can't wait to be depressed. Lacey Evans, now they're talking about how Lacey Evans' daughter drew the Sasha Banks and the line through it, the Ghostbusters symbol with Sasha Banks inside. Did they say that last week and I missed it? Because it feels like they're kind of retcon the weirdness of, hey, I have a glove here, and under my glove is Sasha's name crossed out because I'm a tough lady. It just, I hate Lacey's character so much. Lacey Evans straight up had Sasha beat clean, which is great. Has a woman's right. And then Bayley put the foot on the ropes, like you know, good at that. Ref didn't see that. Then Lacey dragged Bailey almost all the way into the ring, got distracted, allowed Sasha Banks to roll her up. But the ref was doing his, whoa, everything else stops now. You get out of the ring. I know you're attempting to get out of the ring, but I will not turn around and see what's behind me until you're fully out of the ring. Keep moving. Get out of the ring. I know there's something going on behind me, but I swear to God, I will not turn around and look at it until you are out of the ring. Okay, you're out of the ring. Now I'm going to turn around and look. I hate that trope. It's stupid. I hate it. It's bad. So... Lacey gets up out of the kicked out of that. Banks was pissed off at Bailey because she blamed Bailey because we need some reason for these two to fight at SummerSlam, which is totally happening in August. Don't you know? That's definitely going to happen in Boston in front of everybody. It's a giant crowd in August. All of this horrible thing that's coming around and killing people, that's all going to be gone by August. Fingers crossed. So they're putting that off again for SummerSlam. Evans hit the women's right again, and got the win. So when Lacey Evans be defeated, if you're scoring at home, so far Dana Brooke has beaten Naomi. And Lacey Evans has beaten Sasha Banks. So what do those things have in common? I can't tell. Anyway, after the match, I don't know how, with everybody getting distracted, how Bailey didn't understand that Tamina was coming out, since they played her damn thing on the Tron and the music was loud, and she just walked right up to her and kicked her in the face, and Sasha didn't seem to mind. So we're getting Tamina versus Bailey at Money in the Bank. Bailey's going to win by the skin of her teeth. Tamina's going to be pissed. Tamina's going to super kick Bailey. Lacey Evans, who had just won the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, is going to come down, cash in on Bailey, hit a women's right. Sasha's not going to do anything to stop it. Lacey Evans is your champion. And Sasha and Bailey get to have a non-title match down the line. Hooray. The other Money in the Bank, the final one. We already talked about Otis and Dolph. Mandy Rose versus Carmella is happening for the final women's spot. Carmella was pissy about Dana Brooke having a Women in the Money in the Bank thing before 2 week, whatever that was, last week. And then they bring it up because they have a backstage segment. And it's like, okay, no, you're right. I shouldn't have been mad at you about that. But now let's just focus on this thing. And we're all focused. Focusing. We're so focused. Mandy Rose, seems to be the play, but I don't know how is that going to lead to a story that Carmella is Dana's jealous of Dana? Whatever. I'm assuming maybe Sonya gets involved and costs Mandy the match next week, so Carmella gets in as well. I mean, Carmella should. She's the only 2-time Women's Money in the Bank winner. Remember that? Remember how they had the first one they ever did where a man took the briefcase off the top of the ladder? Remember that? That was a thing that they did. Boy, those women and their evolution. Oh, boy. Women's Tag Team Championship match. Guys, I'm 25 minutes into this thing. If you want, at the end, after I do the sign-off, I'll cover my face with my hands again and scream until I lose breath again. Because, you know, I got nothing else to say. Because this match was fine. It was fine. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, fine. Carmella and Dana Brooke, fine. It was a fine match. It's fine. The thing I did not like about it is that I always, when I watch these things, I always, you know, as you know, the finish is always going to be one tag team person is left alone in the ring and has a big double team moved under them. And the other, their other partner is incapacitated on the outside and can't get in to break up the pin. So whenever that happens, as happens very often, I'm forced to go back and rewind and find out what happened. What happened to the tag partner? Here's what happened to Dana Brooke. I'm going to go ahead and say a full 2 or 3 minutes before the finish, she hit a move on Nikki Cross on the outside, and then Alexa Bliss like hit a basement drop kick, like a baseball slide drop kick through the bottom rope that caught Dana like in the collarbone area. And Dana went up against the barricade and she was out, like out cold. Like they should probably go put her through the concussion protocol because she never got back up. And 3 minutes of stuff goes on. 10 minutes of stuff goes on. 20 minutes of stuff goes on. It's a lot of stuff, whatever it was. Even if it was a minute and a half, it was still noticeably Carmella was in there by herself for a long ass time. The Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss have a new finish. It's like it starts out as a 3D, like the Deadly Death Drop, where it's like a flapjack that Nikki does, and then Bliss is supposed to like jump up and get her arm around behind the neck of the person in the air, in this case Carmella, and then DDT her out of that. That's what is supposed to happen. And it kind of did for a first time on TV. Not so bad. And so they won. That's it. Other things to talk about this week that happened on the show. They talked about how Elias can't play guitar anymore because of his vicious beatdown. And I'm just like, oh, that's too bad. That's a shame. What else? Golly, that's it. 27 minutes and 27 seconds, and I'm done talking about SmackDown because, as I said, I already talked about the main event half-hour segment, which was hooray for Triple H. They did stuff throughout the entire night, like clips from his past and everything. I had to explain to my wife, no, the guy, yes, that guy, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, that's Triple H. She's like, that's him? Yeah. Why is he all snooty and fancy? Well, that was his character to begin with. Well, how did he change into the second guy? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember how snooty guy became suck it guy. But it was a quick transition. That's it. That's SmackDown. This is the kind of show makes you want to put your face in your hands and scream gently till you're out of breath. That was SmackDown. I have been your host, Alex Pawlowski. Apparently, I'm going to be reviewing the rest of season one of the Big Show show. And because it's a huge damn hit, there's probably going to be a season two if they ever start making television again. And then I'll probably review that because I'm a masochist of some kind. Maybe I like feeling like this. This is me finishing out the podcast by covering my face with my hands and screaming gently until I run out of breath. For all of you only listening on podcasts, this is what you're missing. My face when I do this.